following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And welcome to turn 97 of A Worthy Opponent. I'm Blacklace. With me is Ugly Brute in the studio today.
How are you going? I can't believe it's already been a week since the last episode. It's crazy.
It was very fast. Anand's been with us too.
He may sound surly and antisocial, but he's actually just really shy. And no, I'm not talking about me.
I have no idea.
Is he a legend?
What is this, 20 questions? He's an epic.
Let's think. Is he perhaps the mysterious challenger?
Yes, that's what he is. The mysterious challenger.
Two in a row.
Since we're going... Well, you had the clue. You know, we were going to talk about paladins tonight.
I did play a clue.
He's a demon because he's 666 or 666 for six. Mysterious challenger is an epic. He's got a battle cry. Put one of each secret from your deck into the battlefield. And, I have yet to see this in play, but you say you see it all the time.
I am gobsmacked that you haven't seen this in play. It's like...
Not once.
One of the most popular decks out there at the moment.
And guess what?
What?
Today I surpassed the 300 wins in ranked on my Hunter. I won like 5 out of 7 games with my current Hunter deck. I made it to rank 16, and... I really have barely played in ranked this month, and I never lose a game where my ball of spiders comes out, just as an aside. And anyway, there's the mysterious challenger. I got all my little asides in there, too.
There you go.
I had no clue what card that was. Absolutely none. But then again, almost every week it's like that for me. So let's go to move into the news, because there's some interesting fun stuff coming up with BlizzCon in November. And they had recently, we were able to buy the little packs if you want for the virtual tickets. The first people who bought it would be able to buy this actual physical package. And now they finally released the actual BlizzCon virtual ticket items. So Autumn's Bane, why don't you enlighten us as to what's going on.
Oh, this is fun stuff. I cannot wait to see this. So every year with the virtual ticket, they give us a virtual goodies. Like Blacklace was saying, if you go in person, you get real stuff. But if you buy it virtually, you get virtual stuff. And so one by one, we get some great stuff. For World of Warcraft, we get a Mercadin pet. Every year they give us a Murloc pet of some kind. And this time it's a Demon Hunter. It looks like Illidan. It's got the horns, the blindfold, and the warglaive. Really cool. For Heroes of the Storm, they're giving us a Nexus Battle Beast mount. So that's cool. I still ride around on the mount that I got last year. Most interest to people on this show is the new card back. It's really kind of cool. It looks all frozen and icy. Have you two seen it?
I have. It definitely looks like a blizzard, doesn't it?
Yeah, Blizzard for BlizzCon. That's kind of neat.
I think they are calling it the Blizzard card back.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. He says, because it's been a very cool year indeed. as usual, StarCraft always gets these crappy decals because I guess they can't think of anything better to give them. And Diablo gets some cool stuff. You get a... are you familiar with the Treasure Goblin? Do you play Diablo?
Yes.
Ugly Brute? Well, they have a Murloc Goblin. So he's a Murloc, kind of a creepy looking Murloc like you'd expect in Diablo, with a loot bag on his back and the word Blizzard sticking out of it. And it's got a portrait, and it's got one of those banners, and it's all icy like you'd expect in Blizzard.
Nice.
I'm kind of just impressed with the fact that they're giving Diablo 3 three things. And, I mean, really, they're giving the banner, they're giving the creature, and they're giving a portrait. Am I not coming through?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was letting you talk for a change.
Wow, I'm not used to that. Oh. So, I know, I mean, the portrait is kind of, I don't know, it kind of looks like a Murloc is eating you, though.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. I haven't got the virtual ticket before. I can't wait to get it.
And then we'll have our pre-show of watching. I mean, Autumn's been and I have the tradition of watching the costume contest now, so the popcorn shall be rolling. I'm looking forward to BlizzCon itself.
Yeah, I always take the day off that Friday. It's like the best day. It's like, you know, I think I've said it before. It's our Super Bowl.
And then now we're going to move on to Ogden's Bane. Oh, no, you did that already. Oh, Ugly Brute. You've got a couple articles that you wanted our listeners to possibly look up and that we wanted to talk about tonight. Kind of fun facts that we were talking about last week when we were looking at how many times maybe we get a legend in a pack or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a couple of really good quality articles that I read this week, and I just wanted to share them with you guys and also with the listeners. The first one was on the uneven stats rule. Now, what that means is, you know how sometimes you can get a card and, for example, you might get a two mana cost card. You can get one that might be two attack and three health, or you could get one that's three attack and two health. And you wonder, which one should I have? Should I have the two drop that's got the higher attack? Or should I have the two drop that's got the higher health? Have you guys ever come across that question? You ask yourself which one's better?
Yeah, I think we discussed... Micmac was talking about this when we were talking about Arena. And there was there's a 2-3 and a 3-2. And one was a crocodile, and I forgot what the other one was. And he was comparing the two and talking about which was better. I guess it depends on what the power and the attack is. Because, you know, like if the power can avoid the power words from the priest, that might be good. Or if the, you know, the toughness squeaks you out of Frostbolt range, then that might be better. I think it's situational.
It is situational. There's always going to be, there's always going to be some times where the rule doesn't apply. And this article goes into times when the rule doesn't apply. But this player wrote this article, and he came up with a rule of thumb to decide whether you want to have better attack stats or better health stats. And he said that it's based on the average. Now, if you take all of the cards that are used commonly, like not unusual cards that you never see in play, but if you take the normal cards that you normally see in the metagame, the average stats for a minion are 3.5 attack and 3.5 health. That's the average if you take an average of them. Do you follow me on that one?
Yep. I get what averages are.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm not talking down to you. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page, that's all.
No, so, it makes sense, actually.
Yeah. So his basic rule is this. If the stats on a minion are under 3.5 attack, 3.5 health, then the attack is more important than the health, because this minion can trade up, and he's probably going to find many minions that are stronger than him that he can trade up with. So, for example, if you've got a 1-cost mana creature, you want it to be a 2-1 more so than a 1-2. And if you've got a 2-mana creature in general, we're going to talk about the provisos later, but in general, you want it to be a 3-attack, 2-health more so than a 2-attack, 3-health. Because it's got more meaning on the board, it can trade up with more powerful cards. But once you get to 4-mana cost cards, it changes around. Like if you've got you'd rather have a 5-4 than a 4-5 once you start getting into the mid-range creatures. Because you want them to stick around You want them to, sorry, beg your pardon, you want to have a 4 or 5. You want to have something more health that when it's mid-range than you do when it's small. Now, he gave some provisos. For example, Death Rattle. If you've got a card, just say you've got a mid-range card that's got a Death Rattle. Say, for example, you know Canned Bloodhoof?
Yep. We discussed him last week.
Now, his stats are 4 attack, 5 health, which you would think is the best way you want it, because he's a mid-range creature, you want him to have a lot of health. But the guy who wrote this article said that that's not the case. Because he's got a Death Rattle, you actually want his health to be less than his attack, because you want him to die. You want to get that benefit of him dying. So you want him to be able to trade. For example, just say, for example, the opposition puts out a Lothep, which is a 5-5 creature. You want Karen Bloodhoof to be able to hit that and kill it, and then Karen Bloodhoof dies and you get Bane. So you get the benefit of him having less health. So that's one example.
I wouldn't say I want him to die. It's more like if he dies, I'm not disappointed because he has a Death Rattle, but I don't play the card looking for him to die.
Well, that's true, but imagine if you put Karen down on your turn as a 4-5, and then your opposition puts down a 5-5. All of a sudden, you've got Karen Bloodhoof can't clear that creature.
Right, and no, I get it.
Yeah, It's just a situation where you actually, there's some situations where you don't want to follow the rule of more health instead of more attack if it's a mid-range creature. Another interesting thing is 3 drops. You know, 3 drops are so close. Their stats are so close to the average. 3.5 attack and 3.5 health. It can be very hard sometimes to decide, do I want one that's got better attack or better health? But the guy who wrote this article said it's actually better to have a higher health as a 3-cost card. Why do you think it's better to have a higher health? Autumn's Bane actually almost touched on it before. Why do you think it's better if you've got a 3-drop that you play out on turn 3? Why do you reckon it's more important that it's got a higher health and a higher attack?
You want it to just stick around. Right?
Exactly. Because there's so many 2-mana removal spells like Dark Bomb and Quickshot that actually can attack and damage, actually outright kill something with 3 health. So you want your 3-drop to be more like a 3 attack and 4 health so that it can survive these early spells that can come out.
Well, speaking of 3-drops, here's 2 common cards that get played a lot. They actually have terrible survivability stats. They're both 4-2. One is the Arcane Golem, because it's going to come out, it's going to do your damage, and even if it gets killed right away, it's done a chunk of damage, right? The other
exactly.
is Big Game Hunter. It's done its job. It's killed that big
exactly.
creature. So if he yep. dies, it's not as important.
Exactly. Yeah, text
Where somebody like a Blackwing
well.
Technician, if used in a dragon deck, it's 2-4, but gets +1/+1 if you're holding a dragon. There's more value there altogether.
Yeah. And he did talk about with minions with uneven stats. If the stats are uneven by more than one, now we've been talking about stats that are only uneven by one, like 2 attack, 1 health, 3 attack, 2 health. So there's only a one
right.
stat difference. But when it's more than that, and he used the example of the Mogushu warrior who's 1 attack, 7 health.
Mm-hmm.
Now he said usually when the stats are more than one apart, the minion will be bad because either it won't be able to affect the board or it'll die too easy. So if it's got a really powerful attack, like say it can do 5 attack, but it's only got 2 health, it's probably going to die to something that's a lot cheaper than it.
Well, but the Mogushan Warden that you just mentioned, he's 1-7, yeah. but he also has taunt. So
he does have taunt. He does have taunt, but...
And
but the problem with him
he's
is...
He's a basic card that's common. So, yeah, we didn't expect that to be a great card, but it's not a terrible card.
Exactly. I mean, you still do get good cards that are uneven stats, but because of their text, like you said before, you know, you can have something that's got such a powerful text on it, like the... I think you mentioned the... what's the mech one that you said that dies and it gives you another 2-1 after it dies? You mentioned it a few minutes ago. But anyway, cut a long story short, the text plays a big part too. But just in general, on the vanilla stats, if it's a 1-mana card or a 2-mana card, you want it to have more attack. And if it's a 4-mana card or higher, you want it to have more health. If it's a 3-mana card, which is very close to the average stats, you want it to have more health because otherwise it's susceptible to cheap removal spells. So I thought that was a really interesting article.
Okay, so that's something that players can go read up on if they find that interesting. Where do they find that again?
You can find that on liquidhearth.com. Another interesting article, which I thought we'd have a bit of fun talking about, and I think the listeners will enjoy listening to too, is found on Hearthpwn. Down the bottom of their homepage at the moment, there's one called Hearthstone Probability. And it's an article that talks about the probability of getting certain things. So I want to talk first of all about minions that give you other minions or other benefits. For example, Blingtron. You know how Blingtron, if you play that, you'll get a weapon and your opponent will get a weapon as well?
Yes.
So what are the chances of giving you a good weapon over giving you a bad weapon? Well, interestingly enough, there's 14 good weapons that Blingtron can give you, and there's 8 bad ones. Now, this is based on the cost of Blingtron, and also the stats and how many charges you get on the weapon?
Durability.
Durability, thank you. So there's 14 good ones and 8 bad ones. That's not bad, is it? You've pretty much got a 66% chance of getting a good weapon. What about Bane of Doom, guys? How many good demons do you think you can get from Bane of Doom?
No idea.
Which one is that? Why don't you explain the card?
Sure. Bane of Doom is the Warlock card, which does 2 damage to a minion and gives you a demon on the board. Well, the answer is there's 10 good demons you can get from it based on its cost, because it costs 5 to use Bane of Doom and it damages something for 2. You've got 10 good demons that it can give you. You've got 11 bad demons that it can give you. 11 demons you don't want to see turn up. So it's actually less than 50% of getting a good demon when you use Bane of Doom. So these sort of probabilities, they can make you wonder, well, do I really want to have that in my deck?
Yeah, but these statistical articles are also, they don't leave room for the funness of the cards. You know,
right.
Yeah, that's true.
These are all strictly ladder, you know, or arena speaking. You know, what is the mathematical probability that this is going to be good for me? Sometimes you play a card.
This
just
is a hardcore
fun to play.
Raider. This is a hardcore raider versus someone who's running around Azeroth to check out, you know, different quests.
Yeah, well, you guys might know about it better than I, but I think in Magic they had those 3 different people, didn't they? That play Magic, and so one of them plays it to win and the other one plays it to have fun and the other one plays it to have those crazy but rare wins that are out of this world. You've got your different
types of players. Absolutely.
Yep, exactly, absolutely. Yeah.
Alright, well, I'll just tell you there's just 2 more I want to tell you. First of all, what do you think's better? Confessor Paltris, who whenever you use your heal ability, she gives you a legend, or Sneed's Old Shredder, that when he dies he gives you a legend?
Well,
there's no right or wrong answer. What do you think is the best one?
Confessor Paltris, I got in the portal this week and gave me a Lore Master Cho, so Warwalker Cho. So I think I'm biased on that.
I would also think it would be Paltris, because every time, if you're using a deck that uses your extra ability, your hero power a lot, she's always going to be bringing people out onto the board.
And she doesn't have to die to do it.
Right.
Exactly. That's the big difference. The big difference is Sneeds has to sacrifice himself to give you the once-off benefit of another legend, whereas Confessor Paltris, she can give you one on the very same turn for just 2 mana, and she can continue to give them to you as well if she lives and she's not silenced. So she actually is statistically better than Sneeds. The one that wins, though, overall with probability is Nexus Champion Sarad. That's, you know, the one that gives you, every time you use your hero ability, it gives you a free spell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it gives you, there's 177 spells that it can give you that are beneficial, and there's only 27 that could be bad depending on what your class is. So
it's a decent card.
That is a fantastic card to use. And I've been using it a lot lately in my Warrior deck, and I've been getting some great results from it as well. So yeah, I thought that was quite a fun little article, just talking about the probability of different minions and what they give you.
Right, and that's found on Hearthpwn?
Yeah, that's on Hearthpwn on the front page. It's, obviously, it's a lot deeper than what we just mentioned there. There's a lot more stats like mulligan stats and chances of getting two drops by turn two. But it's really worth a read for those who enjoy crunching the numbers and making their own decks and so forth.
Talking about making their own decks, we didn't have to make our own deck this time in Clobberin time. This week's brawl was Too Many Portals, which... When I saw it, I actually texted Autumnsbane and I said, my God, they're doing it again. But then when I started playing it, I realized that it's not a duplicate theme because they added the new cards to it. Now, I know that Ugly Brute didn't play this week, right? You didn't play any Brawl?
No, I didn't actually. I had very limited time this week, unfortunately.
Yeah. Autumnsbane, did you play it?
Oh, yeah. I played it and... You know, the Portals one, it is a repeat theme, but they added the new cards just like the previous week. We argued whether or not it was really new because it had the new cards in it, but it was an old theme. I think that this whole Brawl thing is really just to alleviate the boredom of playing on the ladder or for casual players, even more casual than us, who just... want to do something weird and crazy. If you like never knowing, I mean, when you have a deck that's climbing the ladder, you know what's supposed to happen. On turn three, you'll get this or this and play that, right? So this is just so totally random. It's ridiculous how random it is. I played a few games because I got this new quest. There's a new quest to win. It's called Everybody Get In Here. Win five... I think that was the name of it. Win five brawls. Yep. And so I said, okay, I've got this quest. Let me do it. Let me play till I win five. And I had some games that I got really, really lucky and my opponent really, really didn't and I won. And I got another game where my opponent had like three awesome legends in the first three portals and just absolutely clobbered me. I did have one exciting moment where I had board control and he called out Deathwing. Now, Deathwing is 12-12 that costs 10, right? So I get Freezing Trap, which when Deathwing attacked me, it returned it to his hand and it cost two more. Well, guess what?
He didn't have the mana for it. Couldn't recast it.
Who's going to have 12 mana except the lucky druid? So, so I managed to beat him because he had to get rid of his hand. You play Deathwing, you discard your whole hand. So he got rid of everything on his board, everything in his hand, and was stuck with a Deathwing he couldn't cast.
That's funny. But I found that they took too long. I got the same quest you did to win five, and after I played two games, I abandoned the quest because I had my first game took 25 minutes. Because you don't know what cards you're going to get. You sit there and you have to analyze what this does with that. And your opponent's doing that too, and I think it really quadruples the game time. And then I found that in this case, I think that the second turn, the person who goes second has an obvious advantage.
Huge.
Because they have the coin, they can get that spell cast on their first turn.
And a possible free casting cost minion.
Exactly. So yeah.
I hear what you're saying for the time though. It took me my entire lunch hour to play three games.
It's ridiculous. It's too long. So I did abandon the quest and played only one or two games. And I would keep the quest. I mean, if I get it next week and it was a different kind of game, I probably would keep it. But I just, for the ones with the spiders or the portals, they go on way too long because you have to focus too long on what potentially you have in your hand.
Yeah, I think maybe there was one game out of that entire batch that it came down to some level of skill, but all the other games were pure luck. Either I got lucky or I got unlucky, and same for my opponent.
And you guys heard about the little oopsie that happened at the start of the brawl this week?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, apparently it was supposed to be the one that it was, but just for a few hours when it first came out, it was accidentally the one where you got all the web spinners instead.
Now, so they knew they wanted at least twice
that's the second time. And wasn't it Web Spinners last time, or was it Portals last time?
I think I think last time it was a similar mistake, but I can't recall what brawl it was supposed to be. But I tell you what, whoever it is that presses the button, I think they need to be have a speaking to, because they've made the mistake twice now.
It's
hopefully it's not Ben Brode, because I like him.
All right, so I'm actually going to briefly go and talk about my playing with a deck called Admiral Akbar. We all know what that is if we're Star Wars fans.
It's a trap!
It's a trap! Yes, and it's very obviously why this deck is called Admiral Akbar.
Or maybe because it's a bit fishy.
What? No, I thought about that too, and I looked for Murlocs, and there are no Murlocs in this deck.
Did it make you bug-eyed?
Yeah, but anyway, this comes from someone. Zayed sent this to us, and this is the deck: 2 Hunter's Mark, 2 Arcane Shot, 2 Tracking, 2 Bear Trap, 2 Explosive Trap, 1 Flare, 2 Freezing Trap, 1 Lock and Load, 2 Quick Shot, 2 Snipe, 2 King's Elec, 2 Eagle Horn Bow, 2 Animal Companions, 2 Unleash the Hounds, 1 Explosive Shot, 1 Ball of Spiders, which somebody actually sent me a deck with a Ball of Spiders. I had asked somebody to do that. And 2 Savannah High Mains. Now, I had every single card I needed for this except for Lock and Load, which was an epic. And I decided I want to do this deck right. So I created Lock and Load. And Lock and Load is basically each time you cast a spell, you add a random hunter card to your hand. And I was like, well, that's neat. So let's try this out. What happens? I play against a warrior. It turned out to be a very long game, and I was expecting to lose. He kept picking things off little by little on face hunting. But in the end, I was able to get control of the board entirely and wipe up the warrior. I couldn't keep up with the hunter that was a face hunter and an AoE hunter. Just couldn't keep up with that one. The rogue also locked up all my characters. I had no ability to remove weapons, so I wasn't able to take the rogue out. So that was my third game, second loss. My priest, when I played against the priest, he couldn't control the board at all. Every time he tried to do anything, I had an answer for it and then some. So he wound up conceding, and the druid did pretty much the same. Finally, at my fifth game, the card I spent all that dust to create came out. So I actually only saw, out of 5 games, only saw Lock and Load appear once. How's that for random numbers? And I won that one too. I had full board control. He also conceded. So I won 3, lost 2. It was a challenging deck to play. Very gimmicky with the traps. It was fun, but it's not going to be on my I'm going to keep this list. It was fun to play, and I definitely thank the player for doing it. And if you are a hunter, definitely give it a try. But as I said, I was very surprised that Lock and Load only came out once in all 5 games. And I played most of those close to the end, so I played almost all my cards. So my RNG wasn't good for that one. But now I have the card in my collection.
Can I comment on Lock and Load?
Absolutely.
I had Lock and Load during the brawl this week. I played Lock and Load, followed by 3 Portals.
So you got 300 cards put in your hand.
So I got 300 cards in my hand.
Yep. Insane.
It was fun.
Too bad you can't mix a hunter and mage deck together, because then that would really work.
Well, you can during brawls, apparently.
During brawls.
I kept
keep
getting,
that in mind.
I kept summoning minions that were of other classes and, like, couldn't help me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know?
Or when they expect a pirate and you don't have any pirates in your deck. No.
Now, here's something. There was a card that said, your hero power does 1 extra damage. Okay? 1 extra means X plus 1, you'd think, right? But apparently, if you armor up with a warrior, it will not give that 1 damage to your opponent.
What, does nothing?
It does nothing, because it wasn't meant for that. I think whatever the card was, I forgot the name it was, the cats actually stole my notes on this subject, but literally, I had a card And it's from the new expansion, and I forgot what it was. And it's supposed to let your hero power do one extra damage. Now, obviously, I think it was a mage card.
It's
so...
it is a mage card. It's Fallen Hero. It's yeah. Your hero power deals one extra
that,
damage.
That
so,
was it.
Yes.
I had Fallen Hero come out from
a
portal.
To have it.
And I did armor up, thinking, well, that's I get one extra damage because one plus zero is still one. But nope, they wouldn't
nope,
do it.
No, didn't
so,
work.
You know, the... you know, the computer makes the rules. You can't turn to a rule book and say, hey, this is wrong. But,
that reminds me a little bit of that snipe. That sniper hunter one. You know, if you get that out of a shredder or something, you think, oh, well, maybe now I can use my hero power to do two damage to some other creature. But because you're not a hunter, you still don't get to use the benefit on your hero power.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
happened to me the last time the portals were in the brawl. I was playing something other than a hunter, and I got that sniper.
Well, see, you got to play a hunter. Well, even if you play a hunter, you're not guaranteed to get something that matches.
Right.
But that's the fun of it, too. But again, I just thought it took a little too long. But we're back to playing with someone else's deck, and I just thank the player for sending me his deck to play with. And as usual, ask you all to send me your decks, because I love playing with people's decks. And that moves us on to tourney time. Ugly Brute, some big stuff hit this week.
Oh, yeah, man. It's all massive. From now until BlizzCon, it's just mind-blowing how many awesome tournaments are going on. But speaking of the road to BlizzCon, this week was all the 40-man qualifiers to get into the regional championships for each region. So the 40 best players in America played this week. The 40 best players in Europe played this week. 40 best players in Asia played this week. So let's have a look how everyone went, because only the top 8 from each of these 40-man qualifiers get to go to the regional championships for their region. First of all, I want to give my love to the Asia region. I love our fellow brothers over in Asia, but I cannot speak about their results because I cannot pronounce any of their names.
Oh, no.
I don't speak Chinese. I can't pronounce Chinese lettering or Asian lettering. So I apologize, but you get hugs and kisses from all of us because we love you. But I just can't report on you this week because I can't pronounce your names. I'm sorry. But congratulations to those that got through. Now, back
so
to
what happened to Firebat?
I know. Let's talk about North America. Now, how many of the top 8? Now, remember, there were 40 people in this tournament. How many of the top 8 players do you reckon made it through to the end?
What do you mean? You mean from last year's top 8?
No, this year's. This year's top 8. You know how we said that to get into the qualifier, you had to earn BlizzCon points this year?
Right.
Well, the top 8 that had the most BlizzCon points earned this year, have a guess how many of them actually got to be in the final 8
I guess
in the qualifiers
zero.
This week? Almost. Only one.
I said
Black
one. Did you hear
one.
Me say one?
Oh, well done. Black Lace? No, I didn't hear you there, but congratulations.
She
you
got
correct.
It right.
The
See,
only
sometimes
one,
it happens.
The
you know
only
why?
One off the top. Of, yeah, why?
RNG. That's all I can say.
That's it.
It.
You
really...
took a gamble. You took a gamble.
No. Were, I mean, that's why only
nine...
one did it.
Oh, I've got
because
you. Yeah.
I think because you never know if the RNG is going to get you, and maybe it got those players.
To some extent, I agree, but I also disagree because of the way that these qualifiers were handled. There were winners brackets and losers brackets and double eliminations and stuff. So I think that everyone got a fair chance to get it right. So I think it is legitimately a surprise that only one of the top 8 got through, but it was Trump. Trump was the only one from the top 8
oh,
that
wow.
gets through to the American regionals. Firebat
and I thought
was
he
eliminated.
Wasn't competing as much. I haven't really seen
yeah.
him do all that much. And
well,
then suddenly
forget,
he's at the top.
His YouTube stuff.
Yeah. You can win a lot of points on the ladder, but he also won a couple of big tournaments during the year. And you only have to go to a handful because some of these tournaments, if you win them, you get 100 BlizzCon points, which is massive compared to the amount of points you get on ladder. So he just won a couple of the ones that counted, and that put him in the top 8. Now, yeah, Firebat didn't make it. Strife Crow didn't make it. So a couple of things.
I think Firebat should have gotten an automatic in. I think the champion from the previous year,
the reigning
should
champion,
always
yep.
get in.
But yeah,
I agree.
Exactly.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who disagree with me, but
I agree. We spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? About having
we did.
You have the champion, and then you have the contenders. So
exactly.
It's like you really want, as a spectator, that's like, if I can name one person who competed last year, I can name the winner, and then you go in the following year and like, oh, the one guy I know isn't there. You know, I don't know. It's disappointing.
So, just quickly, these are the eight from the North American region that have gotten into the regional championship. Now, four of these... Well, let me explain it this way. There's eight players that are going to go to the regional championships, and I'm just about to mention who they are. Only four of them, though, will go from that to the BlizzCon championship. So they have to come in the top four of the regional championships, which is being held in October, between the 10th and 11th of October, the regional championships. They have to come in the top four then to go to the November BlizzCon.
So four of each of the four regions will be there. That's the 16 Correct. Players at BlizzCon.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. So for North America, the top eight that are going to go to the regional championships are Hot Form from Root Gaming, VLPS, who just quietly is the one I'm tipping to win. VLPS is an amazing player, just absolutely flawless in my opinion. He's from Follow Esports. He's going. Purple. Now, Purple's interesting. Purple just got sacked from his gaming house. And then at the 40-man qualifier, he was undefeated, not even one game lost to get him through to the top eight. If he goes to BlizzCon on his own back, then that team that dropped him is going to feel really bad about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's sort of like, you know, Wizards of the Coast turning down... I'm sorry, TSR turning down Magic the Gathering and then having the company that picked them up turning around and buying TSR.
Right.
Exactly. Now, when I say North America, by the way, I'm also including Latin America because the two top players in... South America are also included in the NA championships. Just to simplify things, much like in Europe, you've got a lot of different areas of Europe, but they call it the European Regional Championship. And the same in America. It's actually really the American Regional Championship, more so than the North American, I should say. So the other player is Jab, Nias, and Trump, representing North America. And then from Brazil, there's Mole Gel. What a horrible name, Mole Gel. Sounds like some sort of gel that you put on your moles, doesn't it?
That's an interesting name.
And Korea. Korea, C-O-R-E-I-A from Brazil is in there as well. So my personal tip out of those is VLPS. If you guys like watching streams, please watch VLPS. He's excellent at talking through what he's doing. Now let's go to Europe. Now, you know how we said in America, only one from the top eight got through to the final eight. In Europe, how many of the top eight do you reckon made it into the final eight in the 40-man qualifier tournament?
Two.
Five.
Oh.
So they did a lot better. They did a lot better. The only surprise really for me that got kicked out was Colento. Colento didn't make it into the top eight for Europe. The European finalists are Nyria, Thais, Pavel, Oskaka, Hoj, Life Coach, Maverick, who ousted Colento, and Jira 89. So they're the eight from Europe that are going in. And like I say, our lovely brothers over in Asia as well. So we'll find out on October the 10th and the 11th who actually of those get to go to BlizzCon.
It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah,
I can't wait till BlizzCon.
Whoever's got time, go and watch some of these games that they played in the 40-man tournament. There were some amazing games there.
Well, I will know who's playing at BlizzCon when I watch BlizzCon.
Because I come from Australia, I just want to say that there are two Australian players that are playing in the Asian region. Because
Ugly Brute.
We've been included with Asia.
Not Ugly Brute?
Not Ugly Brute, no. I missed out by about one. Million.
Million. All right. I'm going to move on to emails. We have two I wanted to discuss today. One is actually more of an awesome moment in Hearthstone, and it's not even a play of the week. This was sent to me by Loco Libre. He says, not a money spender in the game due to income, needs to do family first. He got gold in one classic pack after his wife was telling him constantly to get the Goblin versus Gnomes packs. It sounded cooler to her. So he listened to her and he got the Goblin versus Gnome pack and he sent us a screenshot and I'm trying to open it. It had three gold cards in it. He got a gold Imp Master, a gold Argent Commander, and a gold Master Swordsmith. Three gold cards in one pack. So there your probability is going right out the window. And that was only because his wife liked the sound of the name of the pack better. So I thought that was cool, worth sharing. I'm going to go ahead and throw it into our contest for 100.
So let your wife pick your pack. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, and if money's really an issue for him, then three gold cards will really dust into
that'll
some.
Dust up, yep.
Get a lot of dust from that.
All right, and the other email I want to read to you is from, I don't want to say his name, so it's Will. Basically, he says, hey there, AWO crew. This is, by the way, regarding the double death rattle that was done. He went from one extreme to the other. I wanted to take a moment to tell the tale of my double death rattle tavern brawl experience. Started off by building a hunter deck, ended up being miserable. Couldn't get a feel for how I wanted to be different from other hunter decks. Mad scientist with secrets wasn't really helping me the way I wanted them to. And here comes the wife again.
Yeah.
And my wife wanted to play, so I handed over the laptop. Deck building on mobile sucks. And together we built a druid deck on her account. This ended up being a lot of fun. Basically, the idea is abuse the death rattles to keep several bodies on the board, then use Savage Roar and or Power of the Wild to buff them up and smash face for the win. She played several games, and I ended up staying up a while longer and crushing several games with her deck, then completing a few daily quests. I felt like I could do better, so I made a death rattle version of the aggro secret paladin deck, and it was amazing. Having a board of several small creatures does a lot when you've got a hat full of secrets. In the last 2 days of Brawl, I racked in over 30 wins in Tavern Brawl. Started off not liking this Brawl at all, ended up playing it more than any other Tavern Brawl yet. I always try the new Brawl. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I love it, and a few times I play like Autumn's Bane just until I get the pack. Just goes to show you that you can make your own fun and sometimes just do a little bit of experimentation and it makes all the difference. So I thought that was pretty cool. He hated it at first, and his wife comes in and says, let's build a druid deck, and before you know it, over 30 wins in Tavern Brawl, so he went from hating it to absolutely loving it.
Wow.
So yeah, I thought that was a fun one.
Well, I'm doing that from now on. I'm a married man. I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm going to get my wife to pick my decks for me. I'm going to get my
and
wife
and
to...
And choose your I hope
nobody
deck.
Else is picking your deck for you.
Yes, sir, you know, wives are supposed to pick your deck. All right, let's
no
go
comment,
on.
No comment.
We haven't talked about the paladin cards yet, so we're going to give a few more minutes here to the new tournament.
The grand tournament.
The grand tournament cards.
TGT. Starting with the paladin. And, you know, when we're talking about tavern brawls, we've absolutely got a competitive spirit, no?
Sure.
Agreed.
Okay. One casting cost, competitive spirit, secret. When your turn starts, give your minions +1/+1.
That's an interesting secret.
Yeah, I had that happen to me. I finally, what did it take me, 3 or 4 weeks? I finally came up against a paladin secret deck right before the
Yay!
Show.
Yay! I thought I was time. Going crazy.
No,
only
he
one
walked
the show
all over
to
me. I mean, I looked down to do something else. I think I was taking notes down for the show, and I looked up at my board, and the paladin had like a circle of secrets around his face. I'm like, what the hell just
and then
happened?
You must have thought, this is what Ugly Brute was talking about.
Exactly. So yes, this competitive spirit
I don't believe
spirit
either
was
one of you. I don't think I don't think
wait
they exist.
Till
we're making it
you
up.
Will
we're
be
making
crushed.
It up.
You will be crushed. I swear there's no winning. And then right after that, what was the other one I hit on his bane? Was the...
The Totem Shaman.
The Warrior. The Totem Shaman.
Oh, no. No. The Patron Warrior.
Patron Warrior. So I went from the Secret Shaladin to the Patron Warrior, and I just threw my hands up and said, forget
wow.
it, I'm done. I'm done
That's
for
the top
night.
The top two. They're the only two decks that are T1 decks, and you came up against them in a row. Ouch.
Yeah, and I was playing my little Dusty Ping deck.
Yeah, but not only that, but he had Kel'Thuzad Zod and...
Oh, yes!
And the patrons out.
Yeah,
so she wiped them all out,
and
they all came
the
back
thing.
Again.
I also got glitch slapped. I told Autumnsbane about this. I had played the secret where you copy someone's minion. He played Kel'Thuzad Zod, and then he played... Not the Patron Warrior. I mean, not the... but
Abusive
Sergeant? It was another one. It was a 2-2 creature I'm not used to seeing. But my secret went off and did not pull Kel'Thuzad Zod, which was the first one he cast. It pulled the second one he cast. I was like, are you kidding me? When Kel'Thuzad Zod came out, I was like, yeah! And then he cast a second card, and the secrets and everything kind of were... in the pinging all over the board, I think it just kind of glitched somewhere. Because the wrong card became my card.
I haven't looked in the forums, but I'm wondering if this is a problem, because I just wrote it off as a bug and hadn't given it a second thought till now. But last week, somebody played a card that should have triggered a secret, and it didn't. And the next card they played did. And I blinked. I'm like, did that really happen?
Right.
Maybe I was making a mistake. But so we've each had it happen. That's weird.
Yep. But so anyway, going back to the competitive spirit, one casting cost, and when your turn starts, you give your minions +1/+1. So
it's kind of weird the way it triggers when your turn starts.
Mm-hmm. I think it's
usually
awesome
your opponent does something to you.
Yeah, this is your turn triggering it. I like the card. If I'm playing a paladin deck that has all the little recruits, and then they're all 1/1 little recruits in a row, and then your next turn, this one casting cost secret. I mean, how many times do you have one mana left over?
And it breaks the rule.
It does.
It breaks the rule of secrets not happening on your turn.
Mm-hmm. Well,
No, it still happens
on your
turn. It's just the start of your next turn. That's when it happens.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
there are mage cards,
is...
too, that go off when your opponent does something. I mean, I think this legitimately makes it so that secrets can be anywhere.
Oh, you mean it's not active during your opponent's turn?
Right.
What you mean. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
It used to be that a secret would go off whenever it went off, you know? And you could make it activate on your turn or your opponent's turn. And then they changed that when Naxxramas came out so that secrets would only activate on your opponent's turn. In fact, they'd be grayed out on your turn now. But this is a secret that sort of breaks that rule, because it actually occurs on your turn.
So, Autumnsbane, why don't you move on to the next card?
You want me to talk about my Argent Lance?
Yes, please.
It's a...
I've already heard all about your Argent Lance.
2 casting cost, rare weapon, 2 durability, 2 damage, battle cry. Reveal a minion in each deck. If yours costs more, +1 durability. So that's... I don't know why they don't just call it Joust instead of a battle cry and put all that text down on every card that's a Joust card. But I think it's kind of clever that it's a Joust mechanic with a lance. So I haven't played a paladin since this expansion came out, except my old dragon one. So I think I would... maybe play this card just for fun.
I'm not a big fan of it.
No, but
yeah, I think there's too many other good
just for fun.
There's too many other good. There's too many other good weapons for Paladin, I think, for this one to see much play. For example, you've got the Coghammer, which gives you the Divine Shield and Taunt. You've got the Sword of Justice, which is really popular at the moment. You've got your good old faithful True Silver Champion. I really don't think there's any need for a small weapon like this to have 3 charges on it when you really want to get to those other weapons as quick as you can.
Yeah, I agree. But even if I were to use it, I have 2 Paladin decks. One is full of weenies and one is full of dragons. So clearly I would only use this on the dragon deck.
Yep. Because you joust, you'll probably win the joust, is that why?
Right, because the weenies I would never I'd never win the joust.
You certainly wouldn't want to use this if you were an aggro paladin, because your chances of winning a joust is almost next to none.
Correct.
I'm not sure. I think I like it. Again, I don't play a paladin that much.
It's pretty. It looks like a girl's lance.
It really is very pretty. And it gives it... I mean, if you're going to use a weapon, I guess it's a good battle cry. I just wish, you know... I guess it's equal to the one that the hunters have, that for every secret, it kind of restores a point. It's a little similar to that. Except it's in a battle cry.
As Ugly Brew was saying, for one more mana, you get the Cog Hammer, and you can give a friendly minion Divine Shield and taunt with the Battle Cry, get an extra durability automatically.
We'll give it a plus for the pretty factor, and that's about it.
Yep.
But it is the only two casting cost paladin weapon, so if for some reason you felt you needed to call out a weapon on turn two, anyway, it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think Ugly it should Brew? Be a rare.
The next one
is
Seal of Champions, which is a spell that gives a minion +3 attack and Divine Shield. And I think it's excellent, especially for aggro mid-range, where you always pretty much as paladin have something on the board from the turn before. Amazing ability to trade up, to think that you can add 3 attack to something plus Divine Shield. So it's going to survive hitting whatever it hits, and it's going to be able to hit something that could be 2 or 3 mana cost more than itself. I mean, granted, you've got to invest a second card into the minion that you're using to do the trading up. But in general, this card's going to stick around. Even if it's a Silverhand Recruit, you know, it becomes a 4-1 with Divine Shield. It's going to stick around for a little while, and it's going to kill a few things. So I think it's a good card.
Mm-hmm, I agree. Totally.
Especially
agree.
For common.
Yep.
Yes,
3 casting costs, not bad. Divine Shield gives it the survivability. It's good.
I don't play Paladin, but whenever I play one that uses this, I get upset because I don't like it.
Yeah, and you mentioned that even a Silverhand Recruit would benefit from that, but imagine putting that on something that's really big. You know, something like a Ysera, where it's already got a lot of toughness, and now it's got Divine Shield and extra attack.
They're really, really, really giving the Silverhand Recruits a lot of power now. It's become a really good hero power, because a card like the next one, the Warhorse Trainer, which is also a common, 3 casting costs, a 2/4 card, not bad right there, but it also gives your Silverhand Recruits +1 attack.
All of
now, good segue. Good
yes,
segue, by
all
way.
Of that. Yep, thank you.
So now, play if that you after wind muster up, with battle?
Or competitive spirit? You've suddenly given all of your Silverhand, all your minions a +1/+1. Now, if they're all Silverhand Recruits, you've got, and then you're another +1 attack. Ow!
It's making Silverhand Recruits like a Murloc deck.
Only they're free. You don't have to waste deck space with them because they're a hero power.
Well, speaking of Silverhand Recruits and Murloc decks,
here's another segue.
Is the Murloc Knight. I hate this card. I hate this card. 4 casting costs, 3/4 minion. Inspire, summon a random Murloc. I've gotten my butt kicked more times from this frickin' frog-riding Murloc.
I gotta say something.
Sorry, yeah, you go.
Alright, this Inspire, summon a random Murloc. This will give you your own synergies. Unlike a lot of the other things that you have, where you get a random card or something and you just don't know whether or not it's going to be useful, this Inspire is going to give you synergy over synergy over synergy, because the Murlocs always bounce off each other.
Yep.
And I never see a bad Murloc come out. It's always a good one.
I would like to add to that. I want to vent some steam here. I hate this card. Now, when I say I hate this card, I'm saying I hate it when I'm not playing Paladin.
Right.
If I was playing Paladin, I would love this card, because every 9 out of 10 times that this card is played against me, they get Old Murkai or the War one that buffs everything to crazy amounts. I just cannot believe I had one guy with 2 of these out and both of them developed Murkai. And I just got thrashed. I just cannot believe how many times this thing summons Old Murkai, the legendary.
And you know how Murloc decks can just suddenly be out of control and they're just, you're flooded with, well, this does the same thing.
Yeah. And Paladin already has Paladin so many Merlux. Ways to flood the board. This thing just makes it almost crazy. I had a game last week where I stole some amazing cards. I stole two legendaries off a Paladin with my Rogue deck, and I cleared his board twice, and he still flooded the board and killed me. I had everything going in my favor, and I still couldn't win the game because these flood decks that Paladin can do now are crazy. Anyway, I'll stop complaining, guys. I love my fellow Paladin players.
Well, go to the turtle guy. Next.
Yes. Tuskar Jester.
Yes. Not really the turtle guy, but...
He's a 5-drop, and he's an old fella riding an old turtle. Battlecry, reveal a minion in each deck. If yours costs more, restore 7 health to your hero. So I think he's great. He's a good, solid mid-range creature that has the ability to top up your health so you don't have to spend any of your mana using healing spells.
And that's a lot of health to get back.
I got to tell you, though, there's a card that trumps that one. It's the Shaman card, Healing Wave. Because not only if you get automatically for 3, you restore 7 health. And if you reveal a minion in each deck and yours costs more, you get 14 instead. And that's Yikes. only for 3 mana. So in that, like, but you're not getting a character, a minion. I mean, here it's giving you a 5/5 minion, so you've got that as well.
Well, so, I said it before, I'll say it again. When you lose the Joust, then it's an okay card. But on these Joust cards, when you win the Joust, they are really great.
Yeah,
I'm loving the Joust cards I'm playing in my Hunter deck, and if I was playing Paladin, I think I would really enjoy this one too.
So the next card is Enter the Colosseum. Enter the Colosseum, and it's an epic. Destroy all minions except each player's highest attack minion. Wow, that's a board clearer, especially if you don't have any creatures out. But I think it's risky. I think it's a risky card I'd have in the deck. I'd rather have something that I know, no matter what, it's a 6 casting cost card that I would need.
Yeah, and guess what? It's got some pretty interesting synergies. There is a Paladin card that changes the power and toughness, the attack and health of a minion. So you could take your opponent's really powerful minion and swap the stats around, so that it suddenly is a low attack, or what is humility, does the same thing, or is that health? Humility changes the attack or the health?
The attack.
So yeah, use humility and then cast this. That's a nice combo.
The only problem I see with this card is this card would be broken in some classes, but in Paladin it actually is not a good card at all, because if you're a Paladin, your goal is to fill up the board, build a board, maintain a strong board, then buff that board and win. And what you're doing here is you're destroying all of your little guys that you've put out on the board, except for one. And if Paladin loses control of the board, generally they'll lose the game. They need to have control of the board. So what this thing does is it just makes the board an even playing field. And at
the cost
of 6...
It's the Paladin version of Brawl.
True.
Yeah,
except
but Paladin doesn't really want to Brawl.
Each player actually gets to keep a creature out there.
Warrior wants to Brawl because Warrior only puts out one minion at a time. But a Paladin wants to fill the board with creatures, so they don't want to Brawl. So
but
I think it's in the wrong class.
What if the Paladin's board has been cleared already? What if you've just been Blizzarded or Flamestriked and your board is practically clear.
What you're saying with this is you want to spend 6 mana to equalize the board, and Paladin can't afford to equalize the board. They need to be ahead on the board.
I think it's situational. I think you will find...
That's fair enough.
You have something against 6 mana cost cards, because you gave me the same story about the Ball of Spiders. And every game that I have played Ball of Spiders in, I have won. So I think for some decks it might work.
You got to keep in mind, you're going to have your highest attack level minion survive, and they're going to have their highest attack minion survive, and the chances are, with the Paladin, a lot of your cards are going to be little weenie cards, but when you're able to cast six mana cost for a card like this, you're probably going to have at least one powerful card out, whereas your opponent might have a very low board, and then boom, you might have a 7-8 creature out, and their highest might be a 2-2.
Yeah, so they might, but it is situational.
But I think it could having deal.
Cards based on situation like that's dangerous, and also at six mana, it doesn't
Where's
allow you to get the initiative.
Where's your spirit of adventure?
You know something? You've been reading too many statistical articles. This is a fun card. Forget okay. about how practical
it is.
We
are a casual podcast.
It's a fun card. So I bet if you built a fun deck and you built the right type of deck, you would find this useful in it. Anyway.
Granted, I humbly agree
to disagree.
Yep. Okay. Ugly Brute is the next card yours, or is that did I just get
Yay.
Twisted up? Yeah.
I don't think it is, but that's like
it's Autumn's Bane. It's Autumn's Bane. Yours is the last one.
What, Mysterious Challenger that we already talked about?
Yes.
Okay. 666, the devil. Mysterious Challenger. Battlecry, put one of each secret from your deck into the battlefield. We've already discussed the Christmas Tree Paladin already. So this card should just be burned, and unless it's yours, then you play it. I have one.
I do. I have
not
one.
Not only have I never seen it played against me, I do not even have one. So it's a myth. This card is a myth.
It's like the cake is a lie?
Yes.
So the challenger is a lie?
Yeah, so let's go on to the last legendary card and then we can wrap up.
Okay, done.
Ugly Brute.
So the last one is Edric the Pure, who I can just tell you is absolutely worthless. And the reason I know that is because I stole it off a paladin. Then I made everything on his side of the board only one attack. And then he buffed up everything on his side of the board and killed me.
I mean, it's... If it was their health, then it would go well with like so many other paladin board clearers.
See, if you had entered the Colosseum the next turn.
but then it was still useless because I got rid of all of the one
right.
attack creatures.
I hear you.
But it's got the fun factor, like you guys said. Definitely got the fun factor.
I mean, it can definitely be a lifesaver. At the end of the turn, if you're playing against somebody and they've got a whole wall of giants out there against you, yeah, you're still going to have trouble killing them all. But they're suddenly, instead of having 5-8-8 creatures out there, you now have 5-1-8 creatures. So you're going to live a little bit longer and give yourself a little bit longer of a chance to live through something.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Given some of the screenshots I've seen that people have sent us for the turn 100, there's some pretty scary walls of creature that can occur, and he would basically make it so that you could live through them once or twice.
Yeah, he would. The only other thing too that I've got to complain about with him is at turn 7, I just don't want to play anything that can only attack for 3. Because his attack is 3, and it's not going to have any influence on the board whatsoever. I mean, granted, he can wipe everything down to 1, but if they've still got all of their health, he's not going to clear the board at all.
Hey, remember
well, if
my
they
challenge?
All stay at 1, and he's got 7 health, then
it'll take 7 of them to kill him.
Okay, yeah. you guys remember my challenge of the ball of spiders?
Yes. No.
No, I asked people to submit me a deck to play with that had mm-hmm. that in it, and this deck that I played this week had it in it, and it worked for me, and I liked it. All right, somebody out there, so I've got Edric the Pure, which is a legendary, so I have
build a deck
to
Edric,
play with. Build me a deck with Edric. I don't have Enter the Colosseum, but I have most of the other cards, so yeah, build me an Edric deck.
I will play with it.
Yes, go
I
ahead.
I cannot resist the lore connection on this card. In the Trial of the Champion battle, when you went in to face the Dark Knight at the end, Edric the Pure had an ability where he'd blind you, and if you didn't
turn around and not look at him.
At the exact moment that he was casting this blinding ray, you'd be disoriented,
mm-hmm.
meaning you were temporarily getting your attack down to 1.
Yeah.
Or that would be the metaphor. So it's kind of cute the way they did that.
I forgot about him. Everybody turn around quick. Yep. Yep. So that wraps up Paladin discussion for the evening and actually is wrapping up the show. I want to remind people, turn 100 is 3 turns away. We have some big surprises for you on that show. But I also want to let people know there's now a cutoff exit. Cutoff at turn 99 is going to be the last turn that we're going to be asking people to submit their screenshots because we now have so many awesome screenshots that it's going to take us hours to go through these and decide on which ones we want. So if you haven't gotten them in, you've got 2 more episodes to get us those screenshots. Again, the prize is a really awesome headset by Razer. Send them in. And send it to our email address. Do you gentlemen have anything else you want to add to the show before we go?
No, just hope to play some listeners on the ladder, and I hope that they're not playing Paladin.
Yeah, and I had my fill. Once is enough. I want to go back to never seeing them again. All right, so you can find us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. Listen to us on Monday nights at twitch.tv/HollowSweetMedia and chat with us in their chat rooms. You can listen to us on iTunes through downloading, and you can send us reviews, and we will read your reviews on the air most of the time. You can send us an email at awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at awohearthstone. Give us a like. Stitcher Satellite Radio, Google Plus, A Worthy Opponent. And special thanks to Holosuite Media for putting on the show. And also the music provided by Awesome City Limits. Thank you so much yet again for letting us use your music. And Micmac for joining us in the chat room tonight. We missed you. And for supplying the live feed that people get to watch when they're listening to us on Monday nights.
And so our current reigning champions in the room as well, in the chat room. Our
that
current
is true.
Yeah, champion, I thought of Ringo. That too. That's right, Ringo and Micmac.
Ringo and Micmac. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Happy hearthing.
Bye.
Bye.
Of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.